I firmly believe that managing processes is the state of the art way to enable modern organizations to reach their goals. And it doesn't have, you know, to be a company. It could basically be any organization.
Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenburg.
Welcome to episode 6 of the New Process Podcast. And today, we're going to talk to Michael Bögle from Lufthansa Technik to learn more about how to lead more than 20,000 employees by processes, or to be more specific, by a process-oriented integrated management system. And I guess he will tell us what exactly that is. So I'm really happy to welcome Michael here at the New Process Podcast, not only because I had the pleasure of working for more than 15 years together with him at Lufthansa Technik, but also because he can bring in so much practical and theoretical experience in managing processes so that there is a real need to share this know-how with the new process community. So Michael is the Senior Director of Management System and Authorities at Lufthansa Technik. He is working for Lufthansa in different engineering and management positions since 1987. I'm really lucky that I'm born before he started working at Lufthansa, I would say. So he holds a degree in aircraft engineering. And what is very interesting for our episode today, he developed and introduced together with his team the process-oriented integrated management system of the Lufthansa Technik Group, which is the maintenance, repair, and overhaul business unit of the Lufthansa Group, with several locations all around the world and more than 20,000 employees working there. Yeah, this is what we're going to deep dive into today. And by the way, he also crossed Greenland on skis. Maybe he can also tell us a little bit more about that. So, enjoy the interview with Michael Bögle.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, Michael, great to have you here in the New Process Podcast. I'm really happy to have you here as my second guest because we share such a long history and I know that you are a real process expert and we definitely have to share your experience with the community. So, welcome.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, and I was an airline guy. You still are. So I'm structuring the interviews like a flight, and there we have to start with a check-in. And therefore, I prepared 3 questions. And the first one is, what do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
Normally, window seat. And that's because even after all those years and many, many miles of flying, I'm still fascinated by the view of the Earth from above. So that's why usually my choice would be the window seat, unless I have a very tight connection and I have to get out of the aircraft quickly to make that connection. Then it would be an aisle seat.
Okay, great. And do you have a favorite airport?
Yes. Definitely, definitely a favorite airport, and it would be Vancouver, first of all, because it's located in my favorite country, Canada, and it's right on the Pacific coast, Strait of Georgia, to be precise, and if the weather is nice, you have the view of the surrounding mountains. The terminal building is beautiful, at least the international section. It has design elements that resemble Canada, specifically the Pacific Northwest. So that's why that would be my favorite airport. Plus, it usually means, for me, flying into Vancouver usually means the start of a holiday. So that's my favorite place.
Yeah, that's very good. I've never been there, but maybe one day I can also experience Vancouver Airport and the area around. That's cool. Okay, the third question to close the check-in is, what was the best process you've ever experienced?
Okay, best process. You know, when I think about processes, usually what first comes into my mind is the worst process that I've ever experienced. And, you know, I would have many examples there, but since you're asking for the best, I have to dig back and go back into the year 2008, which was my first participation in a trip called the Tour du Lac Léman. And that is a long distance rowing race. It's organized by the Société Nautique de Genève. That's the local sailing and rowing club. And it's a long distance race. We're talking about 160 kilometers altogether. And it absolutely fascinated me, and I found it very impressive how their approach to organizing that race was, and how they made sure that every crew was ready for the race at the start line, and that the regatta could be performed in a safe way, that it was enjoyable for everybody. And that required many, many things to happen at the same time, in sequence. For example, everybody had to get the boat ready. They have to be specially equipped rowing boats, quads, for that race, because you're facing severe, or you could face severe weather conditions. So you have to outfit the boat with pumps and stuff like that. And they have to make sure that you have the proper safety equipment on board and check that. They make sure that you have received, or that you received a good and thorough weather briefing. They have to make sure that everybody gets their launch slot in a confined docking space. There's not much room, and there's many crews that have to, you know, get their boats in the water at the launch time. So that has to be organized. And then during the race, you get an escort by a motorboat. Every individual, at that time, it was every individual boat is accompanied by a motorboat. And they also have search and rescue teams ready in case of need. And there was actually one year when there was need for us to be rescued, when just short of the finish line, we sank in very rough weather. So that really impressed me. And it's topped by the fact that they even thought and organized a massage in the middle of the night. And after 16 hours of rowing, that definitely feels like heaven. And that finally proved to me that they had their race processes under control.
Wow, that's super interesting.
So that's my good example.
Yeah, cool. That's very interesting, especially to have this non-business process context there. That's exciting. Thanks for that example. So I think now we are ready for the boarding. And to get closer to the topic itself, it would be great if you can describe your relationship to processes a little bit more.
I think that's something that I could really summarize in a very short statement. I firmly believe that managing processes is the state of the art way to enable modern organizations to reach their goals. And it doesn't have, you know, to be a company. It could basically be any organization. Usually they have set goals for them to achieve, and managing processes, I think, is the state-of-the-art way to achieve those goals.
Yeah, Great. I fully agree. And yeah, let's go deeper into that topic. And I introduced you as Senior Director for Management System and Authorities. Can you explain to the listeners what management system is?
that's a tricky one. I remember, and we both remember, I'm sure, times when you really couldn't use the term management system without giving the impression to be very academic and ivory tower. That has changed. But still, the definition that I would go sounds a little bit theoretical, and it maybe is, but I would go along with the definition that ISO 9000 gives you, which defines the management system as the set of elements an organization has in place to establish its policies and objectives and goals, and the processes to achieve those objectives. And for me, if you wanted to summarize and shorten that, I would call it the sum of the structure of an organization, including the defined roles and responsibilities and its processes. That's, for me, the management system.
Okay, great. I think that helps. And is there, because in the last interview, we talked about purpose, and then we deep dived into the topic of process purpose. And is there a purpose defined for the management system of the Lufthansa Technik Group?
Well, I think, you know, that purpose would also have to serve the purpose of the organization itself. Yep. And if you look at our industry, the industry we are working in, then it's obvious that the paramount purpose of our management system would have to be to ensure safety and compliance, while at the same time enabling us to reach our business goals. And the idea behind that is that the way we look at it is, if you have qualified staff and provide them with the information they need in a particular situation in the form of role-based, easy-to-read processes that are easy to understand, combined with proper leadership, then you will achieve that purpose. And in this sense, the vision of our business process management approach has always been to provide the required information to our people quickly and in a reliable way. And that hasn't changed much over the course of the years. It sounds a little bit better when you say it in Germany. It's almost like a slogan. But in English, I think that's what we would like to achieve. Somebody is looking for information, and we would like to provide that information in a very quick way, reliable in a sense that it complies with the regulations, and also in a way that he or she can be sure that it's all the information that he or she needs in a particular situation.
Okay, well, that's interesting. And I know that you're using a tool to support this. And can you provide a brief overview on how this tool looks like? Which tool are you using there? And what are the key features that are supporting this purpose?
Yes. We have meanwhile developed our own modeling tool and platform for the presentation of our processes to the users. And although the first considerations of what should be different from our former paper-based and manual-based approach dates back almost 20 years now, the key elements and features that we envisioned back then didn't change. And to this date, the features would be a simple and easy to understand process language that requires only basic symbols and operators and therefore is easy to understand for everybody. It's a role-based approach, which enables you to focus on the information relevant to a particular role in a particular situation. For example, if you are in the role of a strategic buyer, you can access the system by saying, show me all those processes that are relevant to this particular role, strategic buyer. Another feature would be participation. I think that's of utmost importance, which means that you try to include your employees, the users of the system, in the creation of content by having the roles represented by individual employees or by a process architect that, you know, could actually represent those roles during a process modeling session. Also by establishing easy to use feedback loops, you know, which means that we incorporated a very easy way for our employees to provide a feedback concerning a particular process or activity or document. We also try to supply many different access paths to the information contained in our business process management systems. For example, as mentioned, a role-based approach where you can access the system by saying, show me all the processes relevant to a particular role. You can navigate through the different levels of the process map. You can bookmark information, processes, documents, whatever. You can subscribe and thus be informed about process changes or changes regarding documents. And last but not least, we also integrated normative and legal requirements. And we make sure that when we publish a process or whenever we change a process, that process is in compliance, still in compliance with applicable rules and regulations or any normative requirements.
Okay. Yeah, that's super interesting.
I would say that's the summary of the key features of our system.
Okay, yeah, sounds very much like features of a human-centric BPM tool. That's really interesting to see that. And okay, you said that the system was developed by Lufthansa Technik itself.
Yes, yeah. After carefully studying the market, finding tools that we could start with, we ended up designing our own tool and platform. Because we found that many, it's like many of the office tools that we are using. At least my experience, I'm an old guy, as you see, but you only use so many features of Word, for example. You know, it offers so much more. We found that, you know, concentration on the key features is of benefit, rather than using or trying to use every feature that there is. We try to keep it simple. It's like, and I'm not sure whether it's actually Antoine de Saint-Exupéry who said that, you know, something isn't perfect when you cannot add anything anymore, but rather it is perfect when you cannot leave anything out anymore. You know, so reduced to the max could be a description of our approach. Yeah,
that's great,
and keep it simple.
Okay, thanks for the insights, and that's a great input for another deep dive session on how a human-centric BPM tool could look like. So thank you for this, Michael. And that was the tool, or that is the tool, but what are you doing to inspire the employees to really work according to the processes described in the tool?
That's another difficult topic. First of all, of course, and that's basic. I mean, we train them in the use of the tool, and that is a mandatory training that every employee has to go through. But that's, like I said, it's a basic prerequisite and not necessarily always really inspiring. You know, it's a tool training. And in our case, luckily, that sense of urgency, having to follow established processes is well spread in our industry. It's I would say it's already existent in most of our employees. It's almost by nature. You watch pilots using checklists, you see mechanics following the maintenance manual. So it's almost a natural thing to follow procedures for us. Nevertheless, we also have a special training in place for our line managers, explaining their particular role in the system, for example, regarding the assignment of roles to their employees. You know, the fact that they have to serve as a role model, allowing employees and encouraging employees, I should rather say, and providing the time it takes to retrieve information and so on. And but that's another training issue. And I, you know, as I said, it's not necessarily something that really inspires you. And we also try to keep the topic present in the minds of our people by using all kinds of other means, such as advertising on lanyards that people use to, you know, attach their company badges, other articles, advertising in our company media, intranet. But eventually, I think people will decide whether the tool is of help in their daily work. And that will determine, you know, if they will use it or not. If the answer is yes, you know, it's a tool that helps me to do my daily work, then they will use the tool. If the answer is no, they will have a tendency to move away from it. And that's, of course, something that we try to, or we have to avoid. Because, like I said, I mean, the utmost paramount goal is to make sure that we reach compliance and safety, and we are doing this by following established and tested procedures. So we rely on everybody to participate in the creation of content on the one hand, and then on the other hand, following whatever we have put in the system.
Okay, so I just feel like an auditor, because a typical question just came to my mind. Is there evidence that the people are really using your system?
Yes. There is evidence. As I mentioned, we try to encourage our people to provide us with feedback regarding both the tool itself, but also mainly content that we present to our employees. And of course, there could be the situation that somebody says, well, this is not, you know, the way it's documented is not the way we're doing it. And then we have discrepancy that needs to be addressed. And we came up with a very intuitive and quick way to provide that kind of feedback, and we make sure that it's taken seriously and dealt with in a particular time frame that we have set, and we monitor parameters that enable us to say yes, we're dealing with the feedbacks in a good way. So that's one indication, you know, the amount of feedbacks that we receive. And yeah, because we're using an IT application, obviously, we can also just count the clicks in the system. You know, that's something that has to be looked upon with, you know, with a particular care. Because, of course, you know, you cannot judge by the sheer number of clicks on a particular process, whether that is a well-designed process or something that is being dealt with on a regular basis, because of course we have emergency procedures described in our system, and we're glad if we don't have to use those emergency procedures on a regular basis, because that means then, you know, things run smoothly and in normal operation. But those processes where we would expect a certain number of clicks, we can actually see and monitor whether people work with those processes. And then, interestingly enough, you know, the number or those processes that get a very high amount of attention are also those processes that receive many feedbacks. So for us, that would be an indication that people are actually working with the system.
Okay. And how do you make sure that also the management is using the system and pushing the system into the organization?
In a particular sense, you know, a manager is just like any other employee, encouraged to give feedback. In many cases, our managers also have process management roles. In many cases, from a certain management level on, you have the additional responsibility of a process owner, which means you are accountable for what we have put in the system, and you are accountable for a particular processes, and that automatically means that you are involved in the creation of content, and it requires your participation, and you know, it's almost like you don't have a choice. You can't get away from that. You know, if you have a responsibility as a process owner for a particular process, and your process architect initiates a change of that process, it will eventually be in your workflow. And you will be required to decide whether this is the type of change that you want to have incorporated or not, you know, and you have to play your role in the editorial process of our system and say okay. Yes or no, you know, either approve it or make known why and what kind of changes you would still require.
Okay, cool. That's interesting. I think that gives a very good overview on the system that you are running there. And you know that with the New Process Podcast, I try to explore ideas on how to rethink processes, how to get to a more human-centric BPM approach. And I think you already gave some very good examples on how to integrate the people into the development of the process and so on, using easy to understand BPM notation. What are your three top recommendations for our listeners to rethink processes and to get to a more human-centric BPM approach from your experience?
Mm-hmm. I think the first one, and maybe the most important one, as you already mentioned, and as we already talked about, would be to ensure representation and participation of involved roles at every level. And that includes management, of course. You know, we have management processes, and yes, sometimes it can be a little bit awkward, or it can be more challenging to, for example, describe a process that deals with, you know, establishing and breaking down your strategy, for example, because that would, you know, involve higher level management possibly. But like I said, you will get more support or better support and engagement if you include the ones that you expect to live the process in the design of the process, because, you know, they will not have the argument any longer that, you know, somebody designed a process without consulting them, if they have been part of the design of the process. So that's my number one recommendation. And it, like I said, it, that's true for every level. Second would be, never consider business process management to be an IT topic. Participation of IT, of the IT department, is of course a necessity. I mean, we're talking about an IT tool, so you need the expertise, but they should not be in the driver's seat. To me, business process management is a deeply human topic. And I thought about it, but it's not a fair comparison. If, you know, sometimes I sat down and asked myself, do I really need an IT guy, or do I need a psychologist? And in many cases, I would have been better off with the psychologist. But we'll come to that maybe somewhere down the line in the interview. Yeah, but that's the, you know, that's one case, because we've seen so many cases where companies set out to introduce business process management, and they looked upon it as an IT topic, and in many cases they failed with a proper implementation. And the third one, the third advice would be, seek advice from those with experience. And somebody put down and or sat down once and put together the 10 golden rules for polar expeditions. And I'm going to cite rule number two here. Rule number two would be called, seek out the winners. We wouldn't have made it without the aid of polar veterans. And they, in turn, learned from veterans before them. Every true success is a mankind joint venture. And I think that's very good advice, also in the context of business process management. Go out and search for others who already have some experience, and engage in benchmarking as much as possible. We did that in the very early stages of our BPM project, like I said, almost 20 years ago now, and came back with so many valuable inputs. And we continued to do that over the years. And even at a point where we thought we were far advanced, we usually found somebody that we could learn from. Sometimes, of course, you don't just take it like everybody else or like they do it. You have to adapt it. But I remember many, many examples where we said, well, that's a good idea and that's a good approach and we should implement that. And in many, many cases, we did. So that's number three.
Cool. Thank you very much for these three recommendations. That's so great to hear. And yeah. That gives me a lot of food for thought. Perfect. Thank you. So I think you are on a very good way to become a BPM veteran as well. So thanks for sharing your knowledge with the community here. And you also already touched the expedition topic here. And this is something I have to ask you, because I know that you crossed Greenland on skis. And what I'm really interested in is if your process management know-how on the one hand side helped you to successfully cross Greenland on the one hand side, and if your experiences there in the ice helped you to improve your BPM approach on the other hand.
This crossing of the Greenlandic ice sheet was something that I always had in the back of my mind since I was 18, I think, and it never materialized. In that sense, it's also a story of, not letting something get out of focus, and finally do it. If you have it in the back of your mind, and I'm glad we did it. And it's also a story of a failed attempt in 2011, when the weather was so bad that we couldn't even reach the ice sheet. We were stuck on an island off the east coast of Greenland, and we couldn't, the helicopter couldn't get us over to the ice sheet, so we didn't even start. But then in 2016, we had a team together, and before we even started the planning for the expedition, we sat down with the team and asked ourselves what our most important objective was. I guess, in a process sense, you could call that the output. And it turned out that it was to return safely and as friends. It was not getting from one side to the other. And that was the result of, looking at each other and asking ourselves what is the most important thing. And this eventually determined the way we made decisions en route, how much risks or how much risk we were willing to take, etc. We ended up putting everything in a manual that actually had the funny title, "It Was in the Manual." And I remember one conflict during the trip where this was en route in the middle of nowhere on top of the Greenlandic ice sheet, where we actually sat down and it was a conflict among the three of us. And we remembered that we had the manual. We actually sat down, recalled what was stated and agreed upon in our manual, then acted in accordance with what we had written down, and by doing so, most likely prevented a situation which had the potential to develop into a big problem for the success of the expedition. Sometimes it's important to ask yourself what is really important, and use that as guidance for your decisions. And it's funny, to this day we still every once in a while when we get back together we would remember the statement that we had made regarding the goal of the expedition, which was not to get across, but to return safely and as friends, as I said.
Wow, that's super inspiring. Thanks for the insights. And was there something you could take from the expedition to your professional BPM life?
I think it would be again drawing parallels from those 10 golden rules that I mentioned, where we already looked at rule number 2, and it's another one. Number 4 says, face the storm. It says hiding out in a tent, waiting for sunny days, steals crucial time. A storm always looks the worst from inside the tent. Face the storm. And that was, not only our, but obviously the recipe for the success of many polar expedition is do not hide. Don't think the task is too big. The conditions are too bad. You have to get out each morning, keep moving. Sometimes I had to be reminded by my colleagues and encouraged to tackle a particular task. And I think that's something that I'm taking back. This goal-mindedness basically having no choice. If you're, if you have lost sight of shore or the mountains on the edge of Greenland, then comes the point of no return, and the only way through is forward, and that's something that I think I try to bring with me, I'm not as I wouldn't say frightened anymore, but I just try to go ahead and do it, even if it looks like something that at first looks impossible. Still, give it a try. That's the key message. I think I'm taking back, and never give up.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like having a purpose, knowing why you're doing something, knowing why you have to go out of the tent and face the storm. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so I think we already smoothly landed the aircraft. And I'm not sure. Is there something you would like to point out as the key message? You just said already that is the key message. Just to make sure, what is your key message to the listeners on how to rethink processes?
I think, once again, of course, participation, we mentioned that, not looking at it as being an IT topic. We've also mentioned that. But then there's one further point, and usually we're talking about change, and in at the very early stage of our project, and our first thoughts how we should change our system for the better, I would have tried it and tackled it without having top management attention and support. But that has changed. I think whatever change you have in mind, bring it to the attention of your top management and get their support. I think it's so important. And again, that's going back to what I just said. This may sound like a big task, convincing your top management of a very big investment of time, money, resources, but it's a good idea to do that, And yeah, I think that idea of last but not least, it's making sure that you have a guiding coalition for the change that you have in mind, and that usually incorporates the top management. You have to be there has to be somebody that supports you, you know. Otherwise, you will end up running against walls, and that's not healthy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, thank you for all these insights, Michael. Where can our listeners go to if they would like to learn more about your approach?
If you go to the Lufthansa Technik website, you can actually download our integrated management menu, which at one of the chapters in the end contains a pretty good summary of the key elements of our management system, the role concept that we have implemented, and the IT solution that we have in place. I think that's one source of information, and like I said, it's available for download. And we are always interested in developing our system to the better and improving it. And as I already mentioned, you know, I strongly believe in benchmarking. So we are definitely willing to exchange views with other companies in order to push the topic further ahead together. And like I said, my experience is that, you know, usually it's to the benefit of everybody involved, you know, when you engage in benchmarking.
Okay, great. And with regards to benchmarking or other experts, is there a recommendation from your side where we should have a closer look at to learn, to get new ideas on how to rethink processes? So would you recommend something, someone?
I would actually recommend you, Mirko. I mean, you have whatever I have mentioned, you have been part of for many, many years. You have a wealth of experience in that respect. You've always been somebody at the very front end when it came to developing new ideas. So, you know, with your background and your ideas, I would definitely recommend you
thanks
to contact. And like I said, I mean, we are also willing to, after that crisis, and it was definitely something that we have we're still struggling with, but we definitely feel that we're out of the crisis now, so that we can turn to the to developing things further, you know, in a manner that we were used to in the past, you know. And then of course the pandemic came, we had to concentrate on surviving as a company. But with resources being available again now, and like I said, the idea of benchmarking as being a good thing, you know, we're certainly willing to participate in any exchange regarding the topic.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the recommendation as well as the offer. Cool. Okay, before we are leaving the aircraft, let's check if we missed something. So is there something you would like to share with the listeners, or can we leave the aircraft?
I actually have one last thing.
Yeah.
That I would like to share, that I found very helpful. Many of the topics that we are dealing with and that we talked about have to do with change. And change is a difficult thing to accomplish in a sustainable way. In that respect, I find the 8-step process for Leading Change by Dr. John Cotter. Very helpful. It starts with number one, create a sense of urgency. And then number two would be build a guiding coalition. And I regard those two first steps as being of utmost importance. It's like, you know, I mentioned get management attention and support. If you don't succeed here, to me, it's very unlikely that you will bring the change to a satisfactory result in the long run. And all in all, I find that Cotter approach to be very helpful and down to earth. And, you know, of course, you can buy books, you can Google it. and there's, like I said, more than those two steps at the beginning. But I really find his work helpful when it comes to change. It's very down to earth, very practical. So okay. Something worth looking at, I would say.
Cool. Thank you. That's great. And before we are closing the interview, just a quick question on how would you summarize this flight experience in three words?
I found it quite exciting to be honest, because actually it was my first ever podcast. So, I'm glad that we're done now and that we're through. And it was a pleasure, exciting, but still a pleasure.
Cool. Congratulations and very good. You made it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you once again for the opportunity, Mirko. It's always a pleasure.
Same for me. So thank you, Michael. And bye-bye.
Bye now.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Wow, what a flight was Michael Bürgler. So many interesting insights. That's really impressive. So let's see what we have on the list to quickly recap the interview. He started with explaining his relationship to processes, and there he stated that from his point of view, managing processes is the state-of-the-art way to enable modern organizations to reach their goals, and I think that perfectly says it already. So thanks for this definition here in the beginning, Michael. And we explored in more detail what a management system really is, and he summed it up with that the management system is the sum of the structure of an organization, including its roles and their responsibilities and its processes. And this is what his team is providing to the Lufthansa Technik Group to, in the end, lead more than 20,000 employees all around the world based on processes provided in a tool. And this is always following a vision or a purpose to provide information to the employees quickly and in a reliable way. So that's what they are always referring to when they are working on their management system there. And he also explained us a number of features that are supporting this vision. And it started with having a simple and easy to understand process language. So just using basic symbols, which are easy to understand by the employees. And the system should be role-based. So to focus on the relevant information for the respective roles only. And another key element there is participation. So to include the users, the employees, the management into the creation of the content, and to always represent the employees' view within process modeling sessions, for example. Another way would be to have a feedback feature there, which is part of the tool, and to provide different access paths to the content in the tool. So always depending on the reason why a person is looking into the tool, to provide the best way to access the information, for example, based on roles or using bookmarks and so on, or even to subscribe to changes to be notified as soon as processes are updated in the tool, for example. And then also another important element for Lufthansa Technik is to integrate all normative and legal requirements into the documentation to make sure that as soon as the employees are working according to the process documentation, they are in compliance with all the respective legal and normative requirements, which have to be taken into account. Yeah, and then in the end, just reduce it to a minimum of features to keep it simple for the employees to read and access or retrieve the processes in the application. Then we talked about how they inspire their employees for processes. And there he told us different options they are using, like having a mandatory training to enable the employees how to use the tool. And he already said this is not really inspiring to have a mandatory training, but part of what they are doing to make the employees familiar with the system. Then, and this is, I guess, really aviation specific there is a natural sense of urgency within the aviation world to follow procedures. And this is, something which is really necessary to keep the aircraft flying there, to work according to the procedures and not to do what you want to do without doing that in a structured way. And there is also a training of the line managers to, for example, assign roles to their employees and to provide time to the employees to retrieve the necessary information to make themselves familiar with their processes, send them to process trainings and so on. And they are doing all kinds of advertising, like lanyards, having ads all around, using the intranet to communicate about the integrated management system and so on. But in the end, what he said, and there I fully agree, is that the people will decide if it's helping them in their daily work. So if the system or the processes that are provided by the system do not help the people in their daily work, then they will really have a problem and they definitely will be not inspired to use the process management tool, or the other way around. You have to deliver value to the employees so that they can use the tool, or they will use the tool. And in addition, to inspire the management, he said that's not quite easy, but really simple to explain, because they are also part of the management system itself, because at a certain level they get the role of the process owner assigned, and then they are accountable for process design. And they are automatically involved into the development because they are having a role in the process of process management, or in the editorial process to create the process documentation there. So this is how they get the management on board, by involving them into the development of the content there. And then, quite interesting, I asked him for his three recommendations to rethink processes. And there, his first recommendation was to ensure the representation and participation in the creation process at any level. That fits to how to inspire the management here, to his answer there. But in general, I think it's always good to get the people involved, and that perfectly fits to one of the new process principles here as well. His second recommendation, this is quite funny, is do never consider BPM to be an IT topic. And it's more a human topic, not an IT topic. And I can really recommend to review that section where he gives his recommendation there to get a deeper understanding of what it is all about. And then the third recommendation is to seek advice from those with experience. And there he referred to the 10 golden rules of, or four, polar expeditions, where one of the rules said that they should learn from veterans. So this is something which perfectly fits to what we are doing here at the New Process Lab. Bring people together, exchange experience, and what I'm trying to do with New Process Podcast as well. And he also pointed out that benchmarking is one of the very important aspects, looking back to what they did to get where they are right now, by always talking to other experts and to generate new ideas. And then we also talked about his experiences from his Greenland crossing. So on the one hand side, it was really interesting to see that they defined the major outcome of their expedition there as to return safely and as friends, and that this was always guiding them. And they even put together a manual and used that during their crossing to make decisions and to stay on track and always to know what is really important for them. So return safely and as friends. And the other way around, I asked him about his learnings for the BPM approach based on this expedition, and that was what he said as face the storm. So at a certain point in time, you just have to get out of the tent and face the storm. And same with processes. You just have to go for it, try it, and get going there. Yeah, finally, his key message, in addition to the three recommendations, was whatever change you have in mind, bring it to the attention of the top management. So somehow again, face the storm, go out, tell them, and get their support for what is coming up as his key message here. So, wow, what a huge list of insights here. And finally, if you would like to learn more about the process management approach or the integrated management system of the Lufthansa Technik Group, he referred to the Lufthansa Technik website. There you can find the so-called integrated management manual with all the details. Also, you can find these at the end of the management manual explaining the IT tool, the role concept, and so on, which they are using as basis for the integrated management system. You'll find that by following the URL lufthansa-technik.com/quality, but I'm also going to put that into the show notes as well. So, and finally, also recommended having a look at or into the book written by John Kotter, Leading Change, to learn more about the 8 steps for leading change. I'm also going to put that link into the show notes. Yeah. Wow. Quite impressive. I hope you also enjoyed this flight with Michael Bürgle from Lufthansa Technik. And now we are looking forward to the next episode. And this will, I think, be a deep dive into the requirements for a human-centric BPM tool. We already touched this topic today in the discussion with Michael, where he explained the key features of the tool which they are using. And I'm going to add some more requirements from my point of view. Maybe you can also add your ideas there. So please feel free to send me your requirements to Mirko@newprocesslab.com. And I try to put that into the list of requirements as well. And then based on this episode, I think I'm going to explore the market of BPM tools to find a human-centric BPM tool, or at least to find a tool which supports this approach. So there is a lot of interesting things coming up. Don't forget to subscribe, and thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye, and auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
So if you like what you heard, it would be great if you recommend the New Process Podcast to your friends and colleagues. Just send them to newprocesslab.com/podcast. Thank you much. Bye-bye.